It is interesting that Valentine's Day, a secular holiday celebrating human love, coincides this year with Ash Wednesday, a sacred holiday that recognizes divine love. The word love can be either a noun or a verb. Love is a feeling that we have for one another. That's when love is a noun. The Bible, though, uses three different Greek words to talk about just that one English word that we use, that word of love. In the Bible, there is eros. That's the love celebrated on Valentine's Day. Romantic love, flowers and candy love. It's what is necessary for falling in love. The Bible uses the word filial for the love we have for family and friends. It's often called brotherly love. It is the love expressed in the church, one another love. And then there is agape love. This is the way God loves you and me, unconditionally, indiscriminately, sacrificially. Jesus went to the cross loving everyone like this. This is the love we will experience if we celebrate a holy Lent. This is love as a verb, to love freely without counting the cost, expecting nothing back in return. This is loving as Jesus loved, touching the untouchables, eating with sinners, loving enemies, praying for those who persecute us. Now, many of us will choose to give up something for Lent. We traditionally practice making this small sacrifice, this form of a fast, as a means to remember and recall the amazing sacrifice that Christ has made for us. Others of us will practice a Holy Lent by taking on an extra additional opportunity to be of service to others. Both are ways to spiritually prepare our hearts to fully experience gratitude and joy for the resurrection celebrated on Easter. Both can help us renew and refresh our faith during these 40 days. Today, I want to suggest a third way to live through this Lent of 2018, and that is to activate the power of God's love through anonymous acts of loving. We heard read from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, "Beware of practicing piety before others in order to be seen by them." In the paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, it reads like this: "Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance of it." What if our Lenten discipline would be giving love, love as a verb, to many who need to know that they are valued and valuable, and yet doing so in secret? The Sermon of Jesus continues by saying, "Whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you. When you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." The Message says this so clearly: when you help someone out, don't think about how it looks, just do it. Quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. There are so many needs in so many persons' lives. People need to discover they are loved, that someone cares about them, that their hurts have been noticed. Can I challenge you during this Lenten season to just look around you and pay attention to people who may need a dose of God's love? Is there a coworker who is going through a hard time? What if that person found a flower or two on his or her desk one morning and had no idea where that had come from? Can you imagine the smile that surprise will bring to a face? Is there a neighbor who is struggling or always seems grumpy? What if your neighbor received an anonymous note in the mail that has some words of appreciation or encouragement? Maybe, just maybe, it may lift that person's attitude for the day. Do you know someone who has financial problems? Some extra money, even just a $20 bill, could give hope that things can get better. It may not be possible to do this anonymously. Or you could have the gift given through one of your pastors. We have done that sort of thing many times. A small gift given to a friend, a note of love discovered on a windshield. If you think about it, you will come up with many ways to actively love one another. I think about all you young people and school and the need that so many of your friends need to know that they're important and they're valuable. Think about the ways that you can make a difference in their lives just without even telling them so. What kinds of special things can you do for them that are done in secret? Naturally, some acts of love cannot be anonymous, but a blessing for sure. Take someone out to lunch. Make a phone call to someone who is lonely or grieving or depressed. Mail handwritten notes by the dozens. Snail mail is surprise enough in this age of all connections being done by text or Facebook. News columnist David Brooks wrote, "It seems that the smarter we get about technology, the dumber we get about relationships." We live in a society in which loneliness, depression, and suicide are on the rise. We seem to be treating each other worse. The guiding moral principle here is not complicated. Try to treat other people as if they possessed precious hearts and infinite souls. And what about giving a bear hug to someone? Healthy human touch can make a big difference. In 1945, a physician studied an orphanage that took extra care to make sure its infants were not infected with disease. The children received first-class nutrition and medical care, but they were barely touched to minimize contact with germs. This approach was catastrophic. 37% of the babies died before age 2. From this experience, it became clear that empathetic physical touch is essential for life. Is there a broken relationship in your life? Someone with whom you are angry? Someone who has hurt you badly? Someone you have not talked to in a very long time? A gift of love would be a note asking for a fresh start, a note of forgiveness, of saying, "I'm sorry we've ended up like this." Or it could be a phone call to renew a friendship or a family relationship. There's truly great power in love used as a verb. We activate love by our acts, by our action. Love really is a miracle. And where love is, God is. We read from 1 John, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Indeed, God loved everything into being. Love is the foundation of creation. Our God is a God of relationship. We see that demonstrated in the relationship of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A pastor has described the relationship of the three persons of the Trinity as the dance of love. He writes, "If any of you have ever been to a Greek wedding, you may have seen their distinctive way of dancing. They are not two dancers dancing together, but always at least three. They weave in and out in this very beautiful pattern of motion. They start to go faster and faster and faster, all the while staying in perfect rhythm and in sync with each other. Eventually, they are dancing so quickly and yet so effortlessly that as you look at them, it just becomes a blur. Their individual identities are part of a larger dance. The early church fathers and mothers looked at that dance and said, that's what the Trinity is like. It's a harmonious set of relationship in which there is mutual giving and receiving. This relationship is called love, and it's what the Trinity is all about." Let's watch this dance of love, and as we see it, think about how it can be for you to be in a harmonious relationship with others, both giving and receiving. Thank you. Isn't that fun? You know, the Bible shows us that our God loves parties. Jesus' first miracle happens at a wedding. Not wanting the party to end, Jesus helps the host by creating more wine. When the prodigal son comes home, there's a grand party reminding us of the parties of heaven when any of us turn our lives back to God. The Passover was always a great party of celebration of the miracles of God's faithfulness in the Exodus. Jesus tells a parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. The king tells his servants, 'Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone that you find.'" God wants to include everyone in the parties. In Bethany, there was a dinner party at which Mary poured costly perfume over Jesus, anointing his feet. The disciples complained about such a use for money, but Jesus praised her. Jesus was often seen eating a meal with others. The complaint of the Pharisees was that these others were sinners. The Lord's Supper that we receive today is a gift to us of a banquet celebration of Christ's amazing love for each and every one of us. You and I can take God's party to those who need it. What if every one of us did one act of love for a person who needs each, a person with needs each and every week of Lent? Can you imagine how many people in our community will be touched by grace? John points out, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and love is made complete in us. Love is the perfect intersection of divine intervention with human initiative. This is the stuff miracles are made of. John Wesley was fond of encouraging believers to provoke one another to love and to good works. Let that be a challenge to us during this Lenten season. Thanks be to God. Amen.